Today, we present the last in our series from Apna Street in Bombay with Julian Crandall-Hollick. The sounds of different parts of the day in India have long fascinated Julian. For many years, he lived near Apna Street in Bombay, or Mumbai, as the city is officially called. Every morning at dawn, Julian walked up a lane called Parsi Gully to collect his newspaper and buy fruit. And one morning, he stopped to drink some milk tea called chai and left his tape recorder running so that he could capture for us dawn on Parsi Gully.
Sister, chai, big glass for him, please.
It's almost 6:45 in the morning. The passage from darkness to dawn here in Mumbai. But the little group on the pavement outside gate number 1 at the Parsi Hospital are already up and about. Madan Lal's just finished washing his face from a plastic bucket that Chandaben fills every night from a leaky water pipe in the road. The faithful Pai dog scares off an early truck.
Tiger's gone off chasing some truck.
Yes,
there
you are, Tiger.
Tiger saunters back, gently nuzzles himself against my leg. This is a lovely gentle time, no more than 1/4 hour long. A time of crows and parrots, and some yellow birds I've never learnt the name of. A small, still moment, even here on the pavement, where Haridas Chandaben and her mother Ganga have made their home.
There are two sisters and brother here.
How long did you say they'd been here in this dwelling?
See, they are here since the last 40 years.
The mother says she built this hut before India gained its independence in 1947, and that Chanda was born here soon afterwards.
Those days, they say there was nothing. It's an absolutely small vertical pavement.
No, it's fairly peaceful.
I'll go up and get the paper.
I love my morning walk up past Green Lawns Primary School. Green Lawns should be prosecuted for fraud. There's not so much as a blade of grass anywhere on the premises. It's all, every inch of it, concrete. But at least the walls are painted green. Just like its old, battered school buses that also get a new paint job and not much else every 6 months. Then up past the municipal garbage dumpster and the flock of crows that scavenge it every morning. Up the hill on my left, the Parsi old folks' home, a magnificent stone palace from another age, now dwarfed by 20-story apartment buildings. I continue along a pavement that's always cracked, never repaired, to get my paper from a man called Ravi.
Good morning.
Ravi sits in a little kiosk on the other side of the road. He always anticipates my arrival, a half step before I actually greet him. He hands me my paper from a special pile kept under the counter. He makes me feel part of a select band, his regulars, the elite of the neighborhood's newspaper readers. Back across the road, dodging in between the first buses and cars, up to Kemp's Corner, past the beggar families from Andhra Pradesh. Always the same families, always there, always sleeping. Next to them, a man in undershirt and lungi, trimming the stems of today's roses, gorgeous to behold in their freshness. But by this evening, they'll just be faded memories. Turn the corner up Pedder Road. A ritual gaze up the hill at one of the few remaining old-style bungalows. They used to be the glory of this part of the city before real estate madness took over. And then the old white-haired man in kurta and dhoti. For months, I walked past this man, standing outside his apartment, obviously waiting for someone or something, pacing up and down with mincing little steps in tennis sneakers. Every morning, he would stare me straight in the eye. Who the hell are you? Why are you walking past my home? Of course, we never actually said a word to each other, just stared each other down and went our separate ways. And then one day, I was late. He wasn't there. I carried on down Sophia College Lane, and there he was coming up the lane on the other side of the road. He saw me. I saw him. He smiled at me, mouthed, "Good morning." It was the most wonderful smile anyone's ever given me, like the sun suddenly coming out on a grey morning. I smiled back, and we both continued on our ways without breaking stride. The whole exchange can't have lasted more than half a minute, but the ice had been broken. We've still never exchanged even a single word. Sometimes he even turns his back as I pass by, as though the excitement, the tension of wondering who would break the ice first, was itself half the pleasure. And now we've exchanged smiles. There's no more mystery. During the rainy season, this stretch of road's like a wind tunnel. One summer I lost a brand new umbrella within a minute of opening it. Just walking up to this corner's like rounding Cape Horn in a gale. But there's always Chandan Haridas's hut on the way back home. The proverbial port in a storm, where I can cast anchor, survey the day ahead, and drink hot chai. But I still hear the Sarangian tabla through all the fumes and noise, and know they'll be there tomorrow morning, waiting for me. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Mumbai.
This is the last of our Apna Street series, but Julian is working on some new material about the Ganges River and finishing a series on the lives of ordinary Muslims. There's more information about Apna Street on our website, npr.org. There's also an essay there by NPR's General Counsel, Neil Jackson, who traveled to India with Julian earlier this year while Julian gathered sound for his series on the Ganges. Dawn on Parsi Gully was edited and produced by Shabana Coelho and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.